Council.
This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 391. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, we say a lot of stupid expressions at work like low-hanging fruit or don't throw them under the bus. On today's show, we're going to talk about all of them and why they're actually hurting the communication in your business. Plus, anthropology is the study of humans, past and present. On today's show, we'll talk about how you can use anthropology to make your business more successful. Plus, can you really learn to be successful by looking at the world's biggest disaster? I have the guest today that says you can do just that and has come up with 46 success habits from studying disasters over the years. But first, according to my first guest, the statistics are astounding. Small businesses face federal regulations which cost them approximately $10,000 per employee annually, with a total cost burden on the typical U.S. business, get this, of $233,000. Here to tell us what we can do about it is Karen Kerrigan, who's the president and CEO of Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. For more than 20 years, her leadership, advocacy, and training work has helped foster U.S. entrepreneurship and global small business. Karen regularly engages with the president's cabinet and key advisors and has participated in several White House economic summits. She's been called America's entrepreneurial envoy and the small business ambassador. In fact, The Hill newspaper described Karen as the hardest working woman in show business. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. It is great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I always describe myself whenever I used to come home and the kids were little as the hardest working man in show business.
You are, Barry. You have that great reputation.
So tell us how the economic and regulatory environment is for small businesses these days.
You know what, Barry, we've been around we're going on nearly 25 years now. And I have to say that, you know, during the past, 8 to 10 years, it's been, a pretty difficult environment for small business. Of course, there was the big financial crisis, followed by the Great Recession. And then following that, we've just had an economic recovery that has been, rather weak and tepid. I mean, it hasn't grown or it hasn't sort of bounced back to the normal type of economic recovery that we would have, 3.5 to 4%. So, small businesses are really struggling. I mean, it's been an uncertain environment. From quarter to quarter, when you see the numbers, or from month to month, the GDP numbers, and particularly this year, I mean, really, the economy is not growing hardly at all. So it is very difficult for small businesses. They do say that growing their businesses and revenues continues to be a big challenge, and there is a lot of uncertainty moving forward. Access to capital remains difficult for many enterprises. And then on top of that, Barry, you do have these policy headwinds. I mean, the concerns about the regulations that are coming out of Washington with respect to governing their workplace. I mean, certainly there's been healthcare regulations, environmental regulations, overtime rules, fiduciary regulations. Really, the regulations do keep pumping out at the federal level. And that, of course, causes more uncertainty for small businesses. So it's very tough. It's challenging. I mean, certainly there are entrepreneurs and business owners who are doing well and in certain industries. But, all in all, it's tough. And I do think that's why, we do have lower levels of entrepreneurship in our country. And we have this big gap. Fewer people are starting businesses. And, of course, that's why we don't have the level of job creation, quality job creation. It's all tied together, Barry.
Well, you mentioned some pretty astounding statistics. I mentioned at the top of the show that the average cost of regulation is $10,000 per employee. And you quote here that in 2014, government agencies issued 16 new regulations for every law put in place by Congress. That's 3,554 new regulations compared to 224 new laws. That's amazing.
Isn't it? I mean, really, it is the fourth branch.
Really?
And when you have federal agencies that are cranking out rules and really laws, at a faster pace than Congress does. I mean, look, there's some good things moving through the Congress. I mean, everyone likes to beat up on the Hill and Congress. But really, all the actions in the regulatory agencies and a lot of these rules and regulations from our perspective are not looking through a small, looking at these rules from a small business lens. I mean, certain, some of them are supposed to be doing cost-benefit analysis under the regulatory flexibility analysis. They're supposed to be they're supposed to look at the impact on small businesses. And many of these agencies are just ignoring what they're supposed to be doing to ensure that they are being more sensitive to small business concerns when they finalize these rules. So we have an accountability problem. I mean, certainly there's a transparency problem in how these rules are made, and there's an engagement problem in terms of listening to the voice of small business in the rulemaking process that we think would create smarter regulations, and why we started this coalition with some of our allies called Rethinking Red Tape. It's called Rethink Red Tape. And, I mean, the good news is on both sides of the aisle, they know there's a regulatory problem, but this effort has been formed to really advance those solutions and get some of those solutions on the books so the agencies can be a little bit more accountable, not only to small businesses, but also to consumers and the entire American public as well.
We're talking with Karen Kerrigan. She's the president and CEO of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Kerrigan, Karen, how do you think that this might change under a Trump or Clinton presidency?
You know, I'm optimistic, really, on both sides, because, well, first of all, there is bipartisan efforts going on in the Congress. Actually, there are smaller regulatory reform initiatives that have passed that really focus on, for example, like the Securities and Exchange Commission, to make them more accountable, that were passed by unanimous consent in the House, not one single no vote on some of these bills. So we know that both sides of the aisle recognize this is a problem. Hillary Clinton, she wants to develop a sort of a national effort that looks at regulation at all levels of government to see what it's in doing to impede startups and small business growth. And then Donald Trump, I mean, he has very specific ideas for reforming the system. One would include making the Congress vote up or down on any major rules, those that are costing the economy $100 million or more, to bring more accountability back to Congress, so that there is another check on the regulatory agencies. On the other hand, Barry, I mean, you do have some new initiatives that have been proposed by Hillary in her platform, Hillary Clinton, that would place more regulations on the business community. So, you know, it's either way, though, I think there is a problem. They recognize it. There's also a lot of solutions that are taking place at the state and local level, and those happen to bubble up and bring some momentum to the federal level. We've just got to get the situation under control, and so that's why we exist, Rethink Red Tape and the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, to make sure that both of these candidates continue to talk about these issues, offer their solutions, and then when they get in office, to start doing something right away to reform the system, because it is out of control right now.
So, Karen, what can the small business owners that are listening do to help this effort?
You know what? Their voice matters. It matters. I mean, certainly when we take action, we want them involved. So they can visit RethinkRedTape.com or SBECouncil.org, and we'll send you over to RethinkRedTape.com. But we're very activist in nature, and the more small businesses that we have involved in the process, telling their story, contacting their member of Congress, it does make a difference. People don't think it does, but it really does. And that's why we've been successful in ushering through many things over the past couple of years, is because small businesses got engaged, they offered their solutions, they told their story. That's who elected officials want to hear from. So go to RethinkRedTape.com, sign up for our e-news and ways that you can get engaged. Tell us your story, and we'll share that. It will make a difference.
And people have to understand it really does make a difference, because these are your elected officials, and they really do respond when they hear from the public, right?
You know, they do. I mean, they hear so much from the special interests.
Right, exactly.
Offices right in Washington every single day. And I got to tell you, when I visit with the regulatory agencies or with members or at the White House, it's very refreshing when they hear from small business owners. In fact, you know, two of my members put together the framework that made equity and debt-based crowdfunding legal.
Wow.
They had this idea. We moved it through Congress. We got the White House support. And within a year and a half, we were sitting in the White House Rose Garden while the president signed that bill into law. It was a solution to the problem in the marketplace, which was access to capital. And we still have that, and I think crowdfunding will take hold, but there's other reforms that have to move forward. But, yeah, if small business owners have solutions to problems, we'll listen, policymakers listen, especially if it's not a Republican idea, it's not a Democrat idea, it's a small business idea. It's an idea that really can help growth in small businesses in this country.
Karen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Barry. It is great to be with you.
Coming up next, we have a lot of meaningless expressions that we use at work, like thinking outside the box. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll come up with some better ones.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. South on Lakeshore Drive near Soldier Field, reports of a multi-vehicle accident really slowing things down. Eden's either way, free and clear coming in on the Kennedy. It's 23 on in from the airport back outbound in just 20 minutes. No complaints on the Stevenson or on the Eisenhower. Dan Ryan, a little snug outbound with slow-moving construction vehicles. Downtown out to 95th 19. This report brought to you by Bank of America. Want cash back at Costco, Sam's Club, and BJ's today? Use your Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Visa credit card and earn 2% cash back at wholesale clubs. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Today, it's going to be partly cloudy, with highs reaching up into the low 80s. Currently partly cloudy and 72 in Chicago. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning there. With Gordon
Bruce
Deal.
Told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
You need a new roof, and you've gotten an estimate or two. Hold it. Back up the truck. Don't get ripped off with an overpriced roof or a cheap job that's not going to last. Get a real good price on a waterproof roof now. Call Eurotech and make an appointment for an estimate today. A new roof is a big job, and you need to compare. Do you get it done right away, or can you wait? Your quote now will lock in the price of your roof for an entire year. And when you decide to get the job done, get an additional $500 off. Eurotech is a company that's been in Chicagoland for decades. Successful because they have the same values as you do. Your new waterproof roof is worry-free with their exclusive 30-year warranty that covers both materials and labor. Ask about 24-month interest-free financing, too. Get all the info you need and an estimate that's good for an entire year from Eurotech. Call Eurotech, 800-215-8712. When you decide to get the job done, get an additional $500 off. Get a quote now. Call Eurotech, 800-215-8712. They also do windows, siding, and doors.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
I gotta say, I just love all the stupid expressions we have in the small business world. Like, throw that person under the bus, or let's break down the silos, or let's do more with less, or, you know, it just is what it is. But my favorite one is Can we just think outside the box? Here to help us with all the stupid things we say at work is James Sudico. He's the author of Picking the Low-Hanging Fruit and Other Stupid Stuff We Say in the Corporate World. He serves as a principal at CH Consulting, a boutique management and organizational effectiveness consulting practice he founded in 2010. James, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I love when people say, let's just go after the low-hanging fruit. And in small business, I'm not sure there is any low-hanging fruit.
I'm not sure there's low-hanging fruit in big business either. I think it's just how do you prioritize what's important to do? You know what I mean? People have trouble with that regardless.
All right, I gave you some of my stupid things that people say. What are some of your favorites from the book?
Yeah, so one of my favorites, and actually it's almost borderline offensive, is the open the kimono. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
That one
of course, we're going to open the kimono because we're going to show you something that's the all singing and dancing solution.
The open the kimono one is particularly weird in that the visual imagery alone is just bizarre and, you know, probably warrants some sort of employee relations issue of some sort. So that's a big one that I just, you know, tell people, please don't ever say that.
Now, James, that's strange because when I was at IBM in the 80s, that was a huge one we used because people had to sign a non-disclosure actually for us too. And we always said these words to open up the kimono.
Yeah, there's a lot of women in the workplace that actually find it really offensive.
Yeah.
So it's certainly one to stay away from. So I don't like that one. I think baking people into the process. I don't know if you've ever heard that
of
one
course.
Before, but so such a bizarre thing to say, right? We can't just say, hey, yeah, we'll incorporate that or we'll bring this person into the process. We have to somehow make this something about baking people in. So that one's particularly strange to me.
And so why do we use these ridiculous things? Does it just make us feel more a part of it or cool?
I don't know. You know, if I had the full answer to that, I'd probably have written a book that kind of delved into the inner psyche of all of us. But I think it's something about it's just so prevalent that I think it wears off on people and it almost becomes habitual. And I do think that there are people that kind of use it as a mechanism to sound more intelligent. And I think the irony of that is that talking in plain English actually resonates better with people anyway, right? So it kind of works against you, even if you think you're doing it to kind of sound like, you know, you've got this upper hand or this language that you use that makes you intelligent or more informed about something.
Yeah, I really think it does go to it hurts your credibility. I think that people are afraid to talk in plain English because they think that they won't sound smart enough or sound like
right.
they know what they're talking about.
That's exactly right. You know, and I have a really good case that completely kind of turns that on its head. I used to work for a company before I started my own practice, where literally the chief operating officer, and this was a company of like 20,000 people globally, you know, fairly decent size, multi-billion in revenue. And this is the chief operating officer would stand up on these, you know, quarterly town hall meetings that were webcast across the globe. And he would say, you know what, guys, our job is to make really good stuff that works and then to go sell that stuff. And if the stuff doesn't work, we have to fix it. And that's literally what he would say. And nobody thought he was a dummy. They said, this guy actually talks to us in a way we can understand and we know what to do, right? And this was the chief operating officer. So it was actually a really refreshing example of somebody not peppering in all these really weird expressions.
So give us probably the five worst business phrases that you really need to stop using besides baking people into the process or let's open the kimono.
Yeah, so I particularly don't like the paradigm shift language. Mostly because, I mean, who talks that way, right? I mean, I get what we're trying to do, especially leaders, right? I mean, we are often paid to change an entire mindset on how we do something and make it totally different. But why not just say that? You know, I kind of think about if I was having a family barbecue, I would never talk about paradigm shifts, right? So that one's particularly annoying, and it's very overused. It's used all the time.
Or we got to cross the chasm.
Yeah,
right? or it's the tipping point.
Tipping point. Yeah. You know, this other thing that you hear all the time is we have to make a pivot.
That's right.
Become really popular lately. And it annoys me, especially as an ex-basketball player. I'm like, I know what a pivot is, but it's not what you're talking about. That's a basketball move. So, I mean, I get the concept, but it's just
I actually drink every single time someone says pivot when I'm talking to them. And it was a great idea. The gentleman that was on our show, Eric, who actually introduced this concept. But again, it just got so overused.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I get what people are trying to do with it. It's the same concept as think outside the box. The concept of it makes absolute sense, and you're really trying to get people to think creatively. But it is hurled around so recklessly now that it's completely lost any of the impact it was supposed to have, and I think the pivot is the same thing. It's the same concept happening there.
And so what else do you hate? We got to absolutely stop positively using today.
I don't like tissue rejection. I don't know if you've heard that one or not, but this concept of tissue rejection to me is borderline bizarre. I mean, what they're trying to say is, hey, you know, it's going to get rejected by the infrastructure or the company, right? If we throw this new process in or we throw this new program, it's going to get kicked out. But the concept of it, you know, in terms of a body rejecting an organ during a transplant, you know, that should just stay out of the corporate world, especially if you're in healthcare. It's just, I don't like that one at all.
And we got to run it up the flagpole and see if anybody's going to salute, right?
Yeah, run it up the flagpole is a particularly funny one because if you actually research where that came from, you know, it's now running up the flagpole and people have forgotten the second half of that phrase, which actually in some ways makes it make more sense. But if you were to ask a bunch of people, what does running up the flagpole mean? A lot of people don't know what it means or what it, where that kind of, and see if people salute, because then that makes a little bit of sense, right? Okay, I get why we're doing this, but we've taken half the phrase and chucked it out. And now we people don't know what it means.
And for me, one of the worst ones is, let's see if the dogs will eat the dog food. That's a hell of a thing to say about customers.
That's a great example, right? I mean, we're not talking, you know, clients or customers are not our dogs and we're not feeding them dog food. No, that's a fantastic one that should completely be eliminated.
Now, James, isn't there a danger that these phrases also get misunderstood in the workplace? As you said, sometimes even get insulting?
Yeah, no, they do get misunderstood. So one of the really interesting things that I have found since I put the book out is, you know, clearly people that are new to the corporate world, so like young people that are just jumping in, they may not know what half or more of these things mean because they're just not exposed to it. But what I have found that's really interesting is that a lot of people have come to me that are much more seasoned, that have been in the corporate world for a while, and they said, I haven't known what this thing meant for like 10 years. And so they're walking around every day and people think they know what it means, but at some point it has to have a little bit of impact on your productivity. If you don't know what some of these terms mean and you're walking around work every day hearing them.
And so what do you hope to do, James, by publishing this book? Do you want people to just talk in plain English?
If I had an ultimate goal, it would be one, let's laugh at ourselves a little bit more, because I think oftentimes in the corporate world, we take ourselves a little bit too seriously. So hopefully the intent here is to get us laughing. But if I were to get to the underlying thing I'm trying to accomplish is, yeah, let's stop using this stuff. Let's just talk like normal people. I literally was working with a client 2 weeks ago doing a session. And I said something, and they knew I was a consultant, and it was kind of a funny thing to say. It kind of came out as almost like plain English, but not even correct plain English. But she looked at me, and she said, that's why we like you, James. You just talk like a normal person. And there was something in there around credibility that was important, just because I was talking to them like them, and I think there's more of that that we need to be doing.
Yeah, James, I believe also one of the dangers is that when we're talking to someone who's not from the United States, they don't understand a lot of our sports analyses like, all right, I want you to go out there and hit it out of the park. Well, what does that mean if you don't know baseball?
Now, that's a really good example, right? So when you think about groups that are working globally, it gets even worse, right? Because you can add another 50% of what they're just not understanding. And interculturally, they may not even want to tell you they don't understand because they feel like they need to understand or they should understand.
And
so it's a real problem.
And most of us can't even understand baseball as it is, right?
Right, exactly.
That's the thing for me is I really think that sports analogies in general are really way overused. And a lot of people are not motivated by sports analogies.
No, that's a great point. I never use them, actually, for that very reason. You sit in the room and you look around at who's in that room with you. You know, I have a client who makes video games, and they don't do the sports video games. And, you know, the last thing they want to hear is a sports analogy. They work where they work because they don't like sports. But sometimes people don't even think about their audience when they're thinking about it. Now, if I'm working with a client who is a sports team, well, then, yeah, I'll do it. But generally speaking, people have to kind of really understand who they're talking to before they throw those terms and expressions around.
All right, James, we'll take us out with one of your worst ones ever from the book.
I would say it's a combination of three. And I will tell you, this is used. We used it when I was in a big consulting firm, and I swore I'd never use it again. Is this concept of mindshare, thoughtware, and shelfware. I don't know if you've ever heard any of those, but they are absolutely ridiculous. Mindshare, meaning let's get a bunch of people together and actually share ideas. Thoughtware, kind of the same thing. And then shelfware is you come up with something that the client says looks good and they put it on a shelf and never use again. Ridiculous expressions that I hope people never walk around saying, let's get some mindshare going on this. It feels like something from Star Trek.
And I'll add another one to the people that buy training courses but never use them. It's called selfware. James, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up, can studying the world's disasters actually give you the skills to succeed? Is AM 560 the answer? We'll be right back.
Marxists, socialists, and communists forget the government doesn't have any money.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
Except money it took from someone who is producing money. Government creates no money. The only way the government has money is if it took it from one of us. And so the only way that it would have money to give these people is if it took more from the other people. Thus, Marxism, communism.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rich Dennison. Another police officer killed in the line of duty. Officials in Georgia say Eastman officer Tim Smith was shot and killed last night while responding to a call about a suspicious person. The suspect remains at large. Eastman is southeast of Macon. Unrest in Milwaukee after police shoot and kill a man armed with a gun yesterday. A number of businesses and cars set ablaze on the city's north side. An officer injured when a brick was thrown through the windshield of a squad car.
We are asking every resident of this community to do everything they can to help us restore order.
Mayor Tom Barrett says the suspect's gun was loaded with 23 rounds. Flooding in Louisiana now blamed for 3 deaths as crews rescue more than 2,000 people.
Maybe she's gone.
No, she better be.
Flooding also affecting the state of Mississippi. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your traffic. Making your way west on I-80 at Central, just getting reports of a car in the ditch. South on Lakeshore Drive, crews are en route to a reported accident right around Soldier Field. In Wilmington, Lorenzo Road, still closed between Will and I-55 because of a car versus freight train accident. CTA's red line trains, right now they are being rerouted to the elevated tracks, and that's right around Cermak, and that's all because of a reported person on the tracks. This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Want cash back at Costco, Sam's Club, and BJ's today? Use your Bank of America Cash Rewards Visa credit card and earn 2% cash back at wholesale clubs. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the low 80s. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
The rootin' tootin' timeless fun of the Old West is waiting for you and the kids at Donnelly's Wild West Town in nearby Union, Illinois. Wild West Town is a perfect day out for families with children ages 3 to 11. All rides and attractions are included in one low admission price. Pony rides, the Runaway Minecar Roller Coaster, gold panning, a canoe ride, and a Wild West stunt show are just some of the fun and hands-on activities that await you and the kids. Go to 560theanswer.com/wild for your discount coupons. Wild West Town is the perfect place for your child's birthday party. And grandparents, this is a great day out for you and the grandkids. You won't believe how much fun you'll have. Grandparents can receive free admission on Mondays and Tuesdays with a coupon from 560theanswer.com/wild. Wild West Town, 45 minutes northwest of O'Hare Airport, just off I-90. Round up the gang and head on out to Donnelly's Wild West Town in Union, Illinois.
Donnelly's Wild West Town.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
The single biggest question for every entrepreneur or struggling small business owner is, what are the key habits to success? Sometimes knowing how to face disasters that come your way is the best way to develop these skills. Here to talk about it is Dr. Randall Bell, who is a socioeconomist and the CEO of Landmark Research Group, LLC. Prior to this, he led a national practice at PricewaterhouseCoopers. What he focuses in on is consulting on some of the largest disasters that happened in this world, such as the World Trade Center, the Flight 93 crash sites, the BP oil spill, Hurricane Katrina, the nuclear testing on Bikini Atoll, and several other strategies, including JonBenet Ramsey, O.J. Simpson's, and Heaven's Gate Mass Suicide Mansion. He's got a new book out. It's called Rich Habits and Rich Life. Dr. Bell, welcome to the show.
Barry, it's great to be here.
You got to be a lot of fun at a party.
Well, some people feel differently when they see Dr. Disaster arrive. They run.
Well, so what? I mean, we all have this kind of sick interest in these kind of disasters. But what got you interested that studying disasters actually could help people succeed? It seems so counterintuitive.
Well, great question, Barry. Because I have noticed that when I went to Chernobyl or any disaster that I've worked on and researched, that, you know, oftentimes, with the exception of natural disasters, oftentimes we're talking about poor habits that rippled out and really crushed an entire community and several people's lives. And I started thinking about it, you know, if that's true, and it is true, I think it's intuitive, the opposite's true. If there are poor habits, there are rich habits, and we really need to know the difference. And we know about the disasters, but I really want to expand the discussion on these rich habits and how they can ripple out and really create magnificent accomplishments and success.
So are what you're saying is that there's a common thread here that some of these disasters happen because of poor habits.
Oh, absolutely. When I went to Chernobyl, these security guards were guarding, you know, one of the most radioactive spots on planet Earth, and yet they offered me vodka for lunch. I mean, the culture there, the daily habits permeated, you know, what ultimately led to the world's biggest nuclear meltdown. If we clean up our bad habits, and really the brain physiologically doesn't know the difference between a bad habit or a good or a rich habit, if we conscientiously choose rich habits, it will crowd out the bad habits, and we just enjoy more success in life and business.
Before we get to the habits, Dr. Bell, I just want to talk about some of these other disasters, because some people are saying, well, listen, how does bad habits lead to the abduction of JonBenet Ramsey or the O.J. Simpson situation or the World Trade Center 9/11? How does that relate?
Well, sure. Like with the JonBenet Ramsey case, I worked on that. I spent an hour talking to the prosecutor at lunch, and I can tell you that poor police work, poor training habits led to the fact that that crime was never solved. And I was very blunt in saying that, and he acknowledged that. So, I mean, and with O.J. Simpson, I worked on that case, and I know the Brown family reasonably well, and I can tell you that O.J., you know, adopted, you know, a long time ago some bad habits of obsessing about Nicole, and it rippled out into what I think is a murder, what I think he committed as a murder. So my point is that, you know, whether he did it or not, the point is that bad habits do ripple out, and if we can accept that, we can accept that rich habits have the same power.
So talk about you have these four cornerstones of rich habits.
Yeah, if you take the whole world of habits, I've divided it up into me, we, do, be habits. Me habits are like reading, meditation, prayer, nature walks, anything that improves my mindset, my level of wisdom. We habits are things like developing friendships, smiling more, being kinder, being empathetic, listening better. Those are all the we habits that build relationships. Do habits build productivity? That's that's saving money rather than going into debt. It's exercising, you know, respecting our health and also keeping our environment clutter-free. Those are the do habits. And then B habits are about the future. It's about setting goals, managing our time, and creating our own kind of legacy. So the whole world of habits can be overwhelming, but when you divide it into me, we, do, be, it becomes a more manageable task.
So is it natural, Dr. Bell, for us to be stronger at some of these than others?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm working through my habits like anybody else. You know, I just quit drinking Diet Coke. I mean, you know, some things I'm very strong in and other people have gifts and other things. Some things we're weak in. And me, we, do, be is just a great assessment tool to see, hey, I'm really solid in this area, but with this area, I really need some improvement.
So, Dr. Bell, how do you judge, really, if you're really inside your own person, what are really good habits, what are bad habits? It's hard to tell, isn't it?
It can be, and sometimes we need to ask for some third party for some feedback. You know, but think about it. When we go to the medical doctor, you know, it's self-assessment. We need to tell them, you know, to be authentic, we got to say, hey, I've got a stomach ache or whatever the problem is, to really get some kind of relief or some benefit from that. It's the same thing when we evaluate our own habits. If we lie to ourselves, you know, we're not going to kid anyone. We're not going to get better. So there has to be an authentic self-evaluation in terms of where we're strong, where we're weak.
And if you wanted to share that evaluation with someone else to help you improve, what kind of person do you go to?
Well, I would go to someone that you really trust and who is also very, very honest and blunt. You know, my wife happens to fill that role very well. She has no inhibitions about, you know, telling me where I'm messing up.
All our wives do. Dr. Bell, thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Barry. Pleasure.
Coming up, if you're interested in getting unstuck this year, we're going to talk about straight ahead how you can make the money you deserve. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. In Wilmington, Lorenzo Road remains closed between Will and I-55 because of a car versus freight train accident. In Harvey, Dixie Highway north and south is closed between 150th and Route 83. All of this because of police activity. Let's take a look at the expressways and tollways. Eden's either way, free and clear, 19 minutes between Laycook Road and the junction. Coming in on the Kennedy O'Hare into downtown, 23 from the airport and 13 from the junction. The entrance ramps at both Lake and Randolph, they're closed until 9 a.m. Outbound's wide open. No problems on the Edens, the Eisenhower, the Stevenson, Dan Ryan's 20 minutes out to 95th, 15 back in. Mostly cloudy skies today. High of 82. Currently 72 downtown. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications.
Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognizes the folks who have the courage to challenge industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about. And you can vote for the biggest Rule Breaker right now. Go to RuleBreakerAwards.com. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com to vote for the entrepreneur you think is the biggest Rule Breaker. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Welcome back. You know, you and I are very much alike. During my many years of running my own company, I had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, it was especially difficult for me since my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering to them. Secondly, and probably most importantly, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stock business literally was sucking the life out of me. This was not exactly the way that I thought my business would turn out after reading all of those books. Well, it's kind of normal, sort of. During the life cycle of every single business owner, they get stuck from time to time. Do any of these things sound familiar? Take a listen. Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few new leads to customers coming in, and customers keep just fading away. You're burned out, and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family is starting to suffer as well. You got to get off the roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride this entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be like that. I've had my ups and downs. And I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving your business forward. Over the years, I have worked with hundreds of corporations and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout the decades of running my own businesses, I've identified six major areas where almost every small business inevitably gets stuck. This is the year that your business gets unstuck. As you journey through my breakthrough training series, I'm going to show you fast and easy and permanent solutions to get unstuck. Each module includes a guided PowerPoint presentation, a voice recording of me presenting this materials in front of a live audience, downloadable lesson notes, downloadable homework assignments, and audio recordings of the 100 best of Business Insanity Talk Radio over the last 5 years. Whether you learn best by watching, listening, or reading, there is a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action of moving forward. There are six steps to a better business. This is what I'm going to guarantee you throughout this course. First module is about find new customers and grow the ones you got. You know the drill. When business is booming, you ignore sales and marketing. And then business slows down. And as a result, you go do sales and marketing. This is a hamster wheel to nowhere. Your business remains flatline and stuck as long as you stay on what I call the double helix treadmill. I'll show you how to grow your business by tossing out the old paradigms and traditional sales techniques through my easy-to-follow step-by-step guide. I'm going to show you how to increase the revenue of your business without ever having to sell again. Module number two is finding money to manage your business. Because guess what? It's already there. As a small business owner, there's a great joke. It says, I sleep like a baby. I go to bed early and wake up at midnight screaming my head off. Does that sound familiar? Cash flow keeps a lot of small business owners up at night. We've all felt the crunch of following the Great Recession. Cash flow has slowed to a trickle. Bank financing is almost impossible. And customers, well, they're just taking longer to pay their bills. I have found that only 5% of small business owners actually understand the secrets to overcoming the cash crunch. Learning this module will always have cash to run your business. Module number three, building a team that lasts. One of the most difficult elements of growing a business is hiring and then holding on to the right employees. A good rule of thumb is to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Unfortunately, not many business owners follow this advice. Instead, they hire the first person that fits the role. Then when the employee doesn't work out, they hesitate to fire them no matter how many team members think they are incompetent. I'm going to show you how to effectively hire, train, manage, and fire people to maximize the leverage in your business. Module number 4, customer service is the new marketing. While this may surprise you, the truth is that customer service is your biggest marketing tool. In this age of social media, traditional advertising really has become meaningless, and people are looking for earned media based on buyers' recommendations. In this module, I'll teach you how to create an effective customer service manifesto so your customer can be served at every level of your organization. Module number 5, you got to break that social media addiction. It's no secret. The World Wide Web can be a worldwide waste of time. Most small businesses have no idea what they're doing. I'll show you how to make sure you use social media as your new marketing voodoo. Module number 6, the real trick to all of this is boosting your productivity. Recent studies have indicated that multitasking can cause brain damage. At the very least, it prevents you from doing what you do best. It certainly doesn't allow you to get things done effectively. You see, here's the thing. Your employees will mimic the way you work. You could soon have a team filled with inefficient, multitasking workers all running around chasing their tails. Get the picture. I'm going to uncover ways to get more done in half the time. I'm going to make sure that you're productive, not just busy. If you want to be part of this wonderful program, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the special value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price. You'll learn the exact steps you need to take today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. So if this is the year that you are really committed to getting your business unstuck and you still have some questions about how it can absolutely, positively change the way you do business, give me a call. I make available to all our business listeners a 15-minute free audit of your business and how I can help you get unstuck. The number is 773-837-8250, available to the first 5 callers. I guarantee this is your year.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognizes the folks who have the courage to challenge industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about. And you can vote for the biggest Rule Breaker right now. Go to RuleBreakerAwards.com. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com to vote for the entrepreneur you think is the biggest Rule Breaker. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows
to a crawl.
This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
The door opens at Midlothian Music. And just like that, you're a customer for life. With their huge inventory of hundreds of guitars, drum kits, and string instruments, they've got you covered. Midlothian Music, the largest American-made selection of handcrafted name-brand instruments, lessons for every level of musician, and free lifetime in-house repair and service. Midlothian Music. After 54 years of success, they live and breathe music. Whether a beginner or a pro, Midlothian Music has the right equipment at the right price to make you a true rock star in your band or in your band. Talk to the pros in person 7 days a week. Midlothian Music, 708-403-3733, or visit midlothianmusic.com. That's midlothianmusic.com.
Now back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560 The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, anthropology is the study of humans, past and present. To understand the full sweep and complexity of cultures across all human history, anthropology draws and builds upon knowledge from the social and biological sciences, as well as the humanities and physical sciences. Well, I'm not sure I understand what that means. That's from Wikipedia. But how can anthropology actually make our small business more successful? Here to help is Dr. Andy Simon, who's a corporate anthropologist who helps executives see their companies with more observant eyes, achieve those aha moments, and discover new and profitable opportunities. She's the author of a new book. It's called On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Business to New Heights. Dr. Andy, thank you for coming to the show.
What a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, what is corporate anthropology?
Well, anthropology, as you said so well, is a study of human society. But typically, we think of it as studying small-scale, foreign places where we may not know the language, may not be written. But it's being applied widely now to businesses, corporations, or organizations in such a way to apply observational research and to help them see, feel, and think in new ways. So applying it to complex societies is very exciting, and it's opening up a whole new market space.
So how can it really be applied to business?
Well, you see, when we think about it, businesses are cultures, and often when we're inside them, many small businesses come to us because they can't see what's going on. We help them get outside and look at it with fresh eyes. And so some of the tools that I have business CEOs, presidents, and their management actually do are very simple ways to apply anthropology for themselves. One is to spend a day in the life of a customer and shadow them and observe them and listen to their go-arounds and their pain points as if they were actually doing it. So it becomes an easy way to begin to see, feel, and think differently. And then in my book, I have 7 case studies where we've applied it. Some of my favorite stories are CEOs who sat on the telephone and began to listen to calls that came through from things that they didn't do. One client actually had a we don't do person who handled all the we don't do's. And another thing is to have a storytelling session with a customer that you really do enjoy working with and let them tell you all about what's going on and the trends in their industry. But you have to listen to it without solving a problem, stepping back and beginning to understand how their business could affect yours and what you're missing, what the gaps are. And so anthropologically, we begin to look for meaning in what's happening, not just look at what's happening. Does that help you?
Yeah, it helps very much. But this seems like it probably takes a lot of time, and a small business owner has really got to be committed to it.
Well, they're really committed to growing their business. It doesn't take lots of time to sit on the phone and listen to the calls coming through occasionally with your customer service people. Sometimes I tell them that Undercover Boss is some of my best advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take long to go hang out and watch how things are getting really done as opposed to what people are telling you. People actually are so habit-driven and so happy with the habits that they don't notice what they're actually doing. And so for a president of a company, a startup, an entrepreneur, there's one great story in there about entrepreneurs who were doing a startup, and they had no time. But when they stepped out and looked at what was going on, they realized they were going in the wrong direction. So sometimes it's just better to have some fresh eyes as opposed to know the answers in advance. And I always say this is outside-in thinking, not inside-out. I know you've built a great business, and it's growing. And it may be really on its way. But what are you missing? And because those missing could open up really new opportunities that are just awaiting for you.
Well, Dr. Andy, thanks for being on the show. The title of the book is On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Business to New Heights. You can reach Dr. Andy Simon at www.andysimon.com. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
And thank all of you for joining us in this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsor, Nextiva. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck, give me a call, 773-837-8250. Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Your work is stressful.